What up?
Yo, yo.
Happy podcast day.
It is.
I don't want to say a specific day because you could be listening on any day.
But that day is a day you podcast.
Yeah, so happy podcast
day. Right, boom. I get it. I get it.
I hope this podcast makes you happy.
Yeah, on this day.
And speaking of happy,
yeah,
this week we have the ambassador of happy.
That was quite a transition, dude.
Yeah. He's the self-proclaimed ambassador of happy, but I feel like other people would call him that anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
It's Clinton Sparks.
Clinton Sparks, man.
If you don't know, get familiar.
Oh, you want to roll.
I know. That's his catchphrase, too. He's a world-class DJ.
Yep.
A business mogul.
Unfortunate Boston fan.
Unfortunately, he's a Red Sox fan.
Yep. The guy's a legend, though, man.
He's Grammy nominated.
He is.
I mean, he's a producer, a musician, a singer, a DJ.
Heavily invested in esports, right?
He is. He's like huge in FaZe Clan, basically running that thing, changing the game with their stuff. Just check it out. He's got some stories.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
The first page of a book never tells the full story. And those news alerts and headlines, like the ones we get on our phones, don't even scratch the surface of what the story is really all about. Stories are like people, multi-layered and complex. It takes some digging to find the truth, but when we find it, it can change our world. We like to dig. The news on Merritt Street. Essential television.
Hi, guys.
Yes. Hey, what's up?
Thanks for having me on Tracks of Life with Jordan and Fabian.
Very nice. How did you know to say that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there it is.
From that big Schoolhouse Rock logo up there, it says Tracks of Life.
Exactly. Junction is up next.
Yes, what is your function?
Yeah. Nice, man. So where did you grow up, man?
Boston, Mass. In a town called... Let me tell you, I don't know if you guys are watching a video right now or just listening, but behind me is a Dodgers sign that I refuse to sit in front of.
Yeah.
But glowing. Jordan.
It's glowing.
Because he was so gracious. Jordan has given me his Dodger tickets in the past to take my son.
Right.
So, you know, I was like, all right, I'll sit in front of it. As long as we make the lights red and blue so there's some Red Sox going on here.
You got mostly red and one blue.
Right. Well,
because the default blue here is Dodger blue.
So. But we got all Red Sox because Clinton's here and I'm Boston. So
negative.
I have a black Sox on right now.
Nice.
Fabian's new into baseball.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I seen the video you showed me.
Yeah.
You got a really sore swing.
Yeah, I'm pretty, I mean, I'm
he went to
there.
One game, though, and he was hooked.
Yeah, I was hooked. He took me this year, and then I've been to
a lot. I mean,
maybe half the home games since then.
So I want
Clinton never wants to go with me.
What are you talking about? I always want to go. By the way, when you go with Jordan, it's not just tickets at the seat. You don't just sit down.
No,
you get a buffet.
Yeah, no, he explained that to me.
Oh, no, the first day he came, he was like, I didn't know they had McAllen at baseball games.
Yeah.
I was like, they don't normally serve scotch.
Yeah. Like, he was telling me, he's like, you can't just go to the baseball game regular anymore. And I was like, you can't. Like, we'll have friends there and they'll be like, hey, I was like, dude, come say hello. They're like, we can't get down there.
Right.
Sorry.
It's like literally, it's like the best, it really is the best way to watch
it. It makes
baseball.
The experience like way better.
Yeah.
For sure, man. For sure.
So anyways, what I wanted to say when I was coming over here, Jordan was like, hey, come do this podcast thing with me and my buddy Fabian. And I was like, all right, cool. And then I come in and I see Fabian and it's the world famous Fabian. That I had no idea. I just thought it was like his fashionably handsome friend named Fabian.
Right. Which I am as well. I mean, you know.
Well, if you will.
Yeah.
Right. So for those that don't know, Fabian is one of the greatest like mixing engineers. Oh, is that the title? Is that
mixer?
One of
mix engineer like in the music industry. If you're a big time person or a big label and you want to get the best person to mix your song, the name Fabian comes out. We got to get Fabian to mix it.
And then is every record label executive a former smoker?
We gotta get Fabian.
You know who we need? We need Fabian.
Fabian. Fucking Fabian. That's fucking awesome, guy.
I'm gonna go smoke butts and then I'm gonna call Fabian.
That's it.
Wow. And then you said that you had mixed a record that I had produced for T-Pain.
Yep.
Called Kiss Her.
I love that song, man. Yeah. I didn't realize it. I didn't, you know, because God, so many you do. You know, when you kind of lose track of things over time, there's so many songs.
Everyone's
just
a number.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't want to take the romance out of it, but right. Yeah, no. Yeah, so then right. I was like, yeah, it's good. I remember that song was awesome. The delays and stuff was cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
The number of songs that you mix is like mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How many Grammy songs have you mixed?
Nominations? I mean, I don't want to sound like an ass, but it's like, I can't even tell you. I lost. Every year is like two.
Do you win a Grammy when that wins?
If it depends. Like it's certain songs, yes. If you do like 33 and a third of the album, you get a statue. But you always win a Grammy placard if it wins, if you're involved with it. But the statue, you got to do like 33%.
Right. So how many actual plaques do you have?
Five.
And how many statues?
One.
Nice. More than me and Jordan.
Yeah,
I got one nomination.
Nice. Hey, congrats, man. Congrats.
Thank you very much.
I mean, so tell us, man. So you grew up in Boston.
Yeah, born and raised in Boston. Yep.
And then, was there local artists that you were like into, or what do we, you know?
Yeah, I was a local artist. So you know, the same with any successful person that started off in their town. It's like the same format. What happens is, hey, we're all in the same game. We're all struggling artists trying to make it. Let's all support each other. Let's all do talent shows and shows together. Yeah, yeah, cool. Good job, man. Yeah. You're awesome. Right. We should collab, right? So that's pretty much what happens. What I'm about to say is what every city goes to, every successful artist. Yeah. So everybody just kind of supports each other. Then you start to do well, and then you start getting some haters.
Right.
Then you start doing a little bit more well. Then people start expecting you to help them.
Right.
Because you're doing
expecting it.
Yeah. Yeah. But man, you doing this? Why you ain't looking out for the city?
Right. Yeah.
It's like, bro, I'm still not on. I'm still trying to get on. But because you're bigger than them, they expect you to look out and do stuff for them. When you're really not in a position to do that.
Right.
So and then
you're just trying to make your own way at this point. Right. Yeah, you're getting there. Yeah.
And then finally, once you break past the wall of doing too well, everybody that hated on you or was angry that you weren't supporting them or helping them, now they want to claim you as one of them because you got so successful that they need to be like, oh, that's my man. He's from Boston. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah,
that's
my boy.
We go way back.
Hell yeah. So, but it's cool, man. I get it. I never took it personally when people got mad. I try to, you know me. Jordan knows me. I'm a rational dude. So I'm just like, guys, this is why I can't.
Right.
You know, this is what I'm trying to do.
Sure. Yeah. No, I get it.
It's understandable when people start like getting sour too. It's like, that's not how I would react, but you get it because you're like, they're working, they think they're working just as hard
as you. And they think they're better than you are.
Yeah.
So they're like, man, how's he getting that?
Yeah.
How are they doing that?
Should be me.
Totally, that's what everybody.
Yeah. If you get a little bit of success, all of a sudden everybody thinks they worked harder than you did. And you're like, well, the result would prove otherwise.
Right. Yeah. And instead, you know, and then you want to be like awesome and say, well, why don't we all just support each other? And one person's doing the best out of all of us. We all just help to lift that person up. But then nine out of 10 times, that guy that you all lifted up becomes an asshole.
Right.
So,
well, the mentality normally is, I mean, my experience has been like, everybody just feels like, well, there's only room for one. It's not true. You know what I'm saying? But like, that's everybody's mentality. Like, no, we could all do something.
That's what always got me is like, music's not a competition sport. It's like competitive sports.
Right.
It's like people buy more than one song.
Yeah.
Like it's not like, oh, I'm going to only buy.
It's a competition to get on the charts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's only so many spaces on the chart, but it's like, we could all try to get, you don't got to stop me from getting there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's different now than, you know, Fabian, you've been around for a while. So, you know, like the model of what music was 20 years ago to now is like, now you don't need anybody. There are no gatekeepers.
No, you're right.
Yeah. You're your own gatekeeper. You before put it out, you find an audience. Yeah, yeah. It was like a funnel.
Yeah.
And then the right person had to say, yes,
exactly.
Let's care about
that
him.
That guy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man.
It's like, I feel like now it's like the hyped up version of when you used to have to like sell your own tickets to your shows. It was like, people would get mad if nobody was at their show.
Yeah.
But it's like, why would anybody come to your show unless you told them about it? So it was like the guy that went out and hustled the most, got the most people there and got people there. It's like, that's what streaming to me has done now. Is like, no, the guy that goes out and hustles the most and tells people about himself guy or girl, whatever.
Well, you know, I heard a funny story about you doing this, huh, Jordan? I heard a story about somebody, so people that might not know, and I digress a little bit here, I'm sorry, but you know, Jordan, there was the Hollywood Tours buses stop out in front of Jordan's house growing up.
Yeah. I was 15.
15 years old. He would go out when they would stop.
Yeah.
This is so-and-so's house. The gate opens, and out comes Jordan selling tickets to his concert.
Oh, that's dope.
Every bus
I got on every Hollywood Tours bus, and I would sell my tickets for a discounted price.
That's super smart.
Yeah, because the way it was worked out was you're supposed to sell your tickets for $10 a piece, and you give them $8, give the venue $8, and you keep $2.
Yeah.
And then once you meet your quota, it switches, and you keep $8.
Right.
Give them $2.
Right.
And I just said,
sell them for $8.
I sold them for $8, yeah. and then once I sold all those tickets, I started selling them for less because I was like,
yeah, now I sell them for $5, so you make $5.
Because they'll come back,
right?
I was like, I just like had in my head, I was like, I'm just gonna make it. It's just it motivation to make a dope show.
Yeah, it filled the house, man. Yeah. For sure, that's wild.
Jordan's a smart guy.
Yeah, he is.
But
man,
I feel like that's what streaming is kind of now. It's like,
well, the difference is from what you're talking about in streaming. There's cheating in streaming.
Well,
the way you did it, like somebody really bought the ticket and it's a real human in that club.
I mean, in theory, you could pay extras. Can you imagine like pay like 2,000 extras to come to
so you bought the tickets yourself and then like paid people to go?
Exactly. Hey.
Yeah.
There's worse things.
Actually, that probably did happen.
Yeah. I'm sure that's happened.
For sure. Yeah.
We need to look that up.
Right.
Nobody's going to admit it, but it happened.
Right.
So tell us, man. Tell us about some songs, man.
Well, you think about it, every monumental moment in life, from wedding has music, from a birthday, sing happy birthday, from graduation.
Yep.
There isn't, imagine life with no music.
Yeah, no, horrible.
It wouldn't even make sense.
Yeah. But watching a movie with no music.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever, you can like,
well, besides
that,
an adult movie, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I was thinking too? Like, it's even, people, when they watch movies, to lend to what you just said, like when the music is there and everything's edited, it seems much easier to be an actor.
Yeah.
And like to make that face and to act that way. And so, but when there's you're there and you're pretending to feel the emotion of this that the music would make the viewer, it's like, man, that makes acting way harder.
For sure.
Yeah. Because the music is what starts making you cry.
Oh, sure.
Right? So like, if there's no music, I'd be like, yo, can somebody play Cats in the Cradle right now so I can cry?
I need something.
Which, by the way, speaking of songs that changed my life, one of the songs is Father of Mine by Lit.
Okay.
So
I love that song.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could not like that song.
Uh-huh.
I mean, by Everclear.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, what's the Lit record? Enemy. My Own Worst Enemy, but no, Father of Mine by Everclear. Mm-hmm. So that song literally is like, I felt like I wrote the record. Uh-huh. Like everything in the song, like, wasn't easy for me to be a only white kid in a black neighborhood. Uh-huh. And my dad would give me $5 bill. I never understood you then. I guess I never will. Like every single thing in that song was like that. Like I used to cry and get mad and listen at the same time.
Sure. It was everything for you. It got you through it all.
Yeah, it gave me the anger to like, I'm going to be better than him. But it also like, it was something that, wow, other people go through this and I related to it. And that was a really big record for me to me and my dad are best friends now, but for a long time, like we didn't really have a relationship when he left when I was young.
Uh-huh.
And then when he left when I was like 5, and then when I was 15, my mom sent me one of him out in the suburbs because I used to get arrested too much. So my mom was like, trouble. I'm too sick of getting you out of jail.
You're
living with your dad.
Yeah. What would you get arrested for?
What were you about to say?
Being like being too happy.
Oh,
because I just think of you as like the happiest dude in the world.
Yeah. So
it was
a
different time back then.
I am happy, but actually, you know, I was probably the most big-hearted criminal, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like,
I'm stealing this because I need it.
I would.
I'll give it back to you eventually.
Well, here's one thing I'm going to say that's so dumb. So I used to rob houses for a living when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And
I don't know if we call that a living.
It was a living.
Yeah.
So B&E's, like we like to call it back in Boston.
Yeah, B&E.
As the police would call it. So I would take orders from people back then. So like, yo, I want a VCR, I want a TV, I want a video camera, da da. And I never, because we came from nothing, and my mother struggled and worked, and we didn't have anything nice, that I never wanted. I used to imagine, what if I broke into like my house? So when I'd break into someone's house, I wouldn't wipe them out. If I needed to get four things, I'd break into four different houses
one
so
of
I
each.
Could get one
you,
thing.
Like you were a personal shopper.
Well, basically. But it was like, imagine you come home, you're like, where the fuck's our DVD player? Right. As opposed to you walking like, where's everything? Right. You know what I mean?
So like,
I
was like, your shoes
you were kind hearted. Yeah.
There's a little bit, I left a little bit of confusion in people's minds. They were just like, who the fuck would have just broken and told, only taken a DVD player?
So you weren't a lazy thief. Yeah. You had but, good cardio.
But I had way more risk.
Sure.
Because that's three more times I can get shot.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that's what I used to do. And then I used to stick people up, and I thought to myself, these are like teenagers that work at like McDonald's and stuff. Right. They have to drop off all the money at the end of the night at the bank.
Right.
There's no security rocking with them.
Right.
It's literally like an 18-year-old or even a 23-year-old kid bringing a bag of money
from McDonald's
and putting it in the deposit box at the bank.
He's like, my job sucks.
So I was
sucks.
Like, man, this is like, what the, this is too easy.
Yeah.
So I just walk up and then.
You're the reason they stopped doing that.
Right, exactly. But so I would look in the newspaper and it was Papa Gino's. It was a pizza place. Mm-hmm. They were calling me the Papa Gino's bandit.
Oh my God.
Because I kept sticking up Papa Gino's places.
Wow.
How did that not become like your music alias?
Hold on, before we continue, what's the statute of limitations on this before we edit this?
Definitely old. But here's the funny thing, let's go back to the heart part of it. Because by the way, I'm not saying any of this to say it was cool
or I'm proud of it or nothing.
And the reason I really never talked about it until recently is because I think it's whack.
Yeah.
And I didn't want people to ever, if someone that thinks like me, be like, yo, Clinton's whack. He's a loser. Why would he do that? Right. Yeah. So what made me stop doing that, going back to the heart thing, is I read a newspaper and the gun was never loaded. Mm-hmm. But you don't know that when you're looking down the barrel.
It's not worth finding out.
Yeah. Right. But like when you're the person doing it, in your mind, especially as a kid doesn't understand consequences like you do when you're an adult.
Yeah.
So when you're walking up, you're like, don't worry, I'm not really going to shoot them. There's no bullets in this. Yeah. But you don't know how they're thinking because you haven't had experience yet in life.
Heart attack, man. Yeah,
so when you're 16, 17 years old and you're like holding a gun up to somebody, in your mind you're thinking, there's nothing to worry about. I'm not really going to shoot you.
Yeah.
But that person is fucking traumatized forever.
Some people are the same experience.
You don't realize, it's like when a kid walks across the street, right? And they walk across like they're an asshole, like, yeah, hit me.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you're an adult, you're like, woo, maybe I need to scurry across the road. I might get hit.
Yeah.
But a kid walks across like, what are you going to fucking hit me?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like you don't understand the consequences. And one time I read in the paper that a girl I stuck up soiled her pants.
Oh, wow.
And it made me think, what if that was my sister or my mother?
Yeah, you felt like a piece
and
of
I,
shit.
Yeah, man. And I felt like an asshole because I didn't think about what they would be thinking when
you just
that was
that
happening.
Money. You're like, fuck,
I'm like, dude, it's not even your money. Why do you care?
Right.
You
know what
I mean? Yeah. Like, well, because there's a gun involved.
Yeah, but this poor girl now.
Yeah.
Dang.
Man. I almost died. Like, there's somebody like our age right now still like thinking back to that day.
like I'm actually judging you right now by this. Just so
and
you
like
know.
Probably still they probably still think that gun was loaded.
Yeah. But not anymore.
So that's one of the reasons why I've went through my life as an ambassador of happy and try to make people happy and help people defend happy and be happier. Like, look, I wasn't proud. Like, I think it's super whack. I think I was whack. Mm-hmm. So I never talked about it. Like, when I was in my prime on mixtapes and hip hop, and it was cool to talk about how street you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I never talked about it or bragged about it, even though I could have got all the stripes in the world.
Sure. Yeah.
But I thought it was whack.
Yeah.
So
wow. I mean, hey.
I really did it because I really, really was trying to.
You had no choice.
I had no money. Yeah. Like, I couldn't. I wore Bobo clothes and sneakers in school. Yeah. Everyone would bag on me. Right. Right? So it was like, the fuck, man? I got MA-100s on. You're wearing Jordans.
Right, exactly.
It was like, fuck, man. Like, I look like a loser.
Like, look at me. Do I have a choice with this? This is great. Yeah, no doubt.
That's the weird thing about like making fun of people for like.
You never know.
For stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, do you think I want to be wearing it? Like,
right.
Why are you
like
picking
you,
on
you
me
actually
for,
chose this outfit today.
Yeah, exactly.
As we sit here in Beverly Hills.
But wait, so I'm going to show you how great of a radio host I am because that whole story now leads me into the song.
Oh, look at this.
Right? That changed my life to now realize that it was okay to be who I am. It didn't matter what I wore.
Uh-huh.
And that was De La Soul's Me, Myself, and I.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So that song and that video literally changed my life to like, because you know, I'd be self-conscious, I'd feel like a loser, and like I had whack haircuts because my mother literally would give me a bowl cut,
right? Whatever, done.
Like, my friends are wearing nice ties, I got a clip-on polyester tie,
right,
in school.
Yeah.
Like, I was straight loser, right?
So, you see that, you hear that song,
right? So, and then I hear that song, and it was just like watching the video, which if I'm sure you guys know the video,
yeah.
where it shows how they're just like outcasts and they don't fit in and they're not cool and they're not wearing the gold rope chains.
But they're cool
and,
with
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and they got the hair to the side. And yeah. You know, I used to wear my hair like True Goy. Like I did my hair like a black dude wow. and combed it to the side uh-huh. and cut more on this side than this side so it stood up. And I just like, I didn't, from that day on, I literally, to now, never ever cared uh-huh. what anybody ever thought.
Based on that, yeah, that song made you feel.
It made me feel like, why would somebody else's opinion matter more than my own
right.
of me or right. what I want to do?
Because look at these guys, they don't give a shit.
And that day on, from that day on, I thought to myself, if I like it and it's cool, it's cool.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. It doesn't wow. matter if someone else, I, you know, assigns cool to it or condones uh-huh. that it's cool.
Because what cool changed after
cool
that?
Cool is subject to, it's just like art. Yeah. It's subject to yeah. what you think.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I man. Might like a piece of art, you hate it.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's right?
Like, right? Nobody.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, the only thing that's not cool we can all agree to is beating up women.
Right. yeah. Pointing guns at people.
Yeah. Yeah. Took it there.
Do you mean took loaded ones or? Yeah.
No. Loaded or unloaded.
Sexual abusing.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, there's a list, but there's a
racism,
solid list.
Discrimination, yeah, of course, like, yeah. all that stuff is whack all yeah. the way around. Yeah. Everybody should agree it's whack.
Yeah, absolutely, but not whatever you wear doesn't fall in that category.
yeah, exactly.
it doesn't. But I think nowadays, like even though we're in a world of like a hypebeast world where uh-huh. everyone's wearing Gucci and Supreme mm-hmm. and blah blah blah, I think like even nowadays, like you could wear H&M or like nothing,
yeah,
no name, and it's just right. people just like if you're cool, you're cool, you're cool. now. Yeah, it's no, way different like now, yeah.
which I think is. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, but I do you know, too.
Pharrell, I do a lot of work with Pharrell, and he told me once, he was like, nobody could see your car from inside the club. Nobody could see your boat. Nobody could see your house. It's all about you being cool. You know what I mean? And, yeah. that, and that's a testament to you know what you're saying is like, right. because it's like, you're cool. You carry yourself. Yeah. You're cool. You
that's
know what I'm saying?
Thing. Yeah. I always tell people like, because I'll wear some stuff that is not like, not crazy, but like, I'm not afraid to wear sequins or something, you know, like something like yeah. a little bit loud. And people are always like, I could never wear that shirt.
Yeah, I say that.
And I'm like, no. The reason you can't wear that shirt is because you just said I can't wear
yeah,
that shirt.
Right. Sure.
Like if you walk into a room and you like start huddling up, like sneakily covering yourself up, like people read that. They're like, no, that shirt's weird.
Well, it's like the same theory. What is that theory of... you can't, something like you can't do it because you're getting old. You're getting
old because you can't do it.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
That would be,
people say, you know, people say, oh, I'm too old for that. I can't do it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can't do it. Ah, forget it, man.
I blew it.
I thought you guys were smart enough to pick it up for me.
We got nothing on that one. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so De La Soul. So how old were you when that song was? So when did you realize that this is what?
Like 10 years old.
Oh, wow, man.
So yeah. And yeah, because I mean, I was bullied. I was picked on. I was young. I didn't fit in. I was I was too white for the black kids and too black for the white kids.
Yeah. So you were just there.
I didn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah
in that day. Now that's everybody.
Yeah. That's just life now. Yeah. For sure.
It's like,
yeah,
man. You know, I didn't understand. Like, plus that was a time in my life I was being molested by like my mom's boyfriend for like 4 years. So like. And but then he'd go and buy me like toys. Mm-hmm. So like he's my friend, but yet he's
confused.
Also. Yeah. But yet every night I'm sleeping with my sister on top of me to like protect me from him. Man. Like my mom would like beat me up, but then like buy me the new Prince album the next day. And I'm like, so I had a warped, dysfunctional version of what love is supposed to be.
Sure.
So and then so like music was the most important thing in my life. Like literally my radio was my best friend growing up. I sat in my room and I wrote a song called Everything I Know I Learned From My Radio. Uh-huh. And it's because like from the songs, from Freddie Mercury, from Prince, whoever's talking in song, I'm learning and understanding life and music. Yeah. And
cause you're so confused.
What listening to my radio. Yeah, and it's like radio's like the only thing that kind of like didn't
that's amazing,
judge you.
Though. Yeah. And you can like relate to.
Right.
You know, that's what's amazing to me too, is like, it's just like the autonomy of music is like, you could hear the same song that I hear and like whatever you're going through could be absolutely completely night and day different.
Right.
And we'll both find something in that song that you're like, no, that was
right,
to me.
Right, right,
like that was, I
love. Well, some people don't even like the song. You're like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's like my favorite part of music. Like it doesn't bother me when people don't like the same music that I like, because it's like,
me either.
It makes it more yours.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you're sitting there with your radio going through like the shittiest time in the world. And that song is like pushing you through some way.
Yeah, of course.
Well, what you're saying is if you understand you know, music and what it's made for, and then the psychology of people. Like, why would you judge somebody for what they listen to? They listen to it because it does something for them psychologically or emotionally. Yeah. So that's awesome. Yeah. Like, there's a record called Cancer on My Chemical Romance's album, right? And obviously, like, he's singing about himself going through cancer, right? Mm-hmm. But like, sometimes you could take one line out of a song and assign it to something you're going through in life, and the rest of the song has nothing to do with what you're going through.
It doesn't matter.
But there was one line in that song that made me like miss somebody else that had nothing to do with cancer.
Yeah.
And I listen to the song, and then it's like, I'm soggy from the chemo and stuff. And I was like, all right, that means nothing to me. But like,
skip. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Right.
Yeah, man. Wow.
So I don't know. The third song, I don't know if I have a song. Can I just, instead of one particular song, can I? So the people,
there's no real rules. You can kind of do whatever.
Right.
You want.
The people that have influenced me the most all around would be Freddie Mercury, Rivers Cuomo, and Teddy Riley.
Nice
list. All over the map.
That's a good list.
In Prince.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's like, I walk around my house with the broomstick as the guitar, like acting like.
I feel like kids now will never know how good of a guitar player he was.
Right.
Because everybody thinks of him. Everybody that I talk to now that's younger, just knows Prince like for the hits,
right?
Like the records,
right?
Which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you see that motherfucker play the guitar, and it's like. It's a whole new dimension of guitar.
I mean, you can see him live in concert to see all that. But it's the same thing with Queen.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't realize how fucking dope Queen or Freddie Mercury is until this movie, like, opened the doors for people to pay more attention. But obviously, I'm a super fan, so I watched everything, right? Yeah. And I know, like, how many tracks he used to layer his voice and do all these things, because we, as music people, care to know that stuff. But no one else is thinking about, no one's thinking about the panning and the layers and da 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 and all that stuff. You're like, yo, back then, to have a mind to get that'll sound dope.
And it wasn't easy back then. It wasn't easy technically. It wasn't easy to do. Yeah,
you're cutting tape and you're like,
and then to turn around and also do "We Will Rock You," which is like stomps and claps.
It's but on top of everyone saying like, no, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
And
it's
saying,
not right.
No, shut up. Trust me.
Yeah. Like,
how are you so sure? At that point, when it's never been done before, the technology's not in place.
Right. And then to stick, because it did, like, Bohemian Rhapsody didn't do well right away.
It didn't, yeah.
But, like, to stay behind your thing and be like, no.
I'm making this album.
Wait.
Yeah.
This is going to be...
he was 50 years ahead of his time. Well, because Wayne's World is what kind of made that record.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I was going to say.
That's the movie that made that record, like, famous now.
That soundtrack, I feel like, is way underrated.
Yeah.
I mean, I know everybody knows it's an amazing soundtrack.
What, Wayne's World?
Yeah, but like, as a kid watching that movie, I found so many songs from that movie.
Right.
That like Foxy playing.
Yeah.
And then,
Foxy.
Yeah.
Foxy.
No, it was
And then, but then like, that put me into a whole like Jimi Hendrix vortex where learned everything else all because... Dana Carvey was like fucking humping the air and making fox ears.
No, but that Bohemian Rhapsody scene.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That's like,
but you're right. That introduced, I mean, the song had been out and had done what it done.
But it was, if that wasn't in that movie, we probably would never hear that song.
Exactly. No. That's one of the most iconic music scenes.
I mean,
you ask Siri, you start singing it to Siri, she sings it back. You know?
I mean, how many people after that movie would get in a car with their friends and do that same scene over again?
Yeah, 100%.
But even spewing this.
Yeah. But even like, it's funny because now we're talking about, you're talking about a feeling and a time when you're like, I'm with my 14-year-old son the other day, Jack, and we were listening to like.
Who's a fucking G, by the way.
Thanks, man. Who we were listening, he listens to old music with me. He listens to everything from Weezer to My Chemical Romance to, you know, Lil Pump and X and all these guys. But like, he actually says to me, he goes, I wish I was born at your time. And I go, why? And he goes, man, I don't like my generation. They're like, he doesn't like the things they represent, what they stand for, what they think is lit, and stuff like that. And I'm like, so we're listening to an old school channel the other day. I was like, bro, you guys will never, and I don't think, a lot of times.
Does it make you feel old saying that? Doesn't
no,
it?
No, because that's what I'm about to say. That's what I was about to address. So, you know, we had our parents, they're like, that's not music. Yeah. But like, I'm the first generation that like, your kids listen to the same music as you.
Right.
You wear the same name brand clothes.
Right.
You watch the same shows on Netflix.
Dude, my 7-year-old nephew asked for Supreme for Christmas.
Right.
Right.
I was like, that is so cool.
Right. Yeah. So like it's so we listen to the same music. So my son gets it.
Right.
So when I'll play old school hip hop to him, I'm like, bro, you'll never like I'll play like Rock Him
right.
or KRS-One or Big Daddy Kane. And I was like, you'll never ever understand the feeling of when hip hop was happening.
Right.
It wasn't on radio. You had to find it.
Yeah.
It was in the hood.
You had to search for it, man.
When you heard someone, when you heard like a, because back in the day when I was young, you know, it was hip hop was a black thing, right? And like when you see like, you know, D-boys and pimps and drug dealers like driving down the street and they're like Cutlass Sierra or something like that, playing that out the car, like that was like, yo, did you hear that? Like, I would
accessible.
I would go to New York and you would listen to New York radio and it was like Disneyland.
Right.
Like you'd put on the radio and you'd hear Hot 97.
Right.
You'd get goosebumps like, yo, this is really hip hop.
Right, right.
This is where it was made.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
man.
Now, like it's just so abused and taken for granted and like kids just like disrespected and it's just so whack. Like I respect and like.
But don't you think you were probably disrespecting something that you probably connect to now more like then when that happened you, whether it be like classic rock at the time.
No, because here's the thing, us as producers, and I can speak for like even prominent producers, like from Tribe Called Quest to DJ Premier stuff. We respected the art of taking other people's stuff. So we'd be like, yo, did you hear this Herb Albert sample?
Right.
Yo, did you heard this little, this thing on the meters drum loop where you go, like we respected and honored the people that we were actually borrowing shit from.
Yeah.
And like, we're like super excited to build something off of something we respected.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that anymore.
Right? Now kids, they don't even know where they get shit. Yeah. Like right now, I guarantee you, the whole like mentality of like a lot of like the rappers nowadays, they're just basically ripping off heavy metal, but don't even know it.
They don't even know. No, that's the thing. They don't even know it or
respect it. So they have no idea about
Mosh. So you can't really blame them 100%, but they don't because they really don't get
they
it.
They think they made it.
Right. Yeah,
they but really that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The young generation is so ignorant. They don't even care to look 10 years before them, let alone 20, 30 years to see what's been. They don't go. They think that they're so lit that they're creating like this whole world, that they're entrepreneurs. And it's so whack.
Yeah.
And I can say it too because I'm in the world. So I'm part of like the culture. So I understand the mentality behind it and the psychology, and it's just like there's not a lot of respect for like when we were younger, all of us, even Jordan, like we all respected what was before us.
Of course.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like even like your friends with David Foster, right? So you'll be like, I respect him because of his fucking talent, his skill, what he's done.
Yeah, exactly.
Like what you, I dare you to go up to Smoke Perp and be like, who's David Foster?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or
even half the prominent producers out right now.
Yeah.
They don't like go to Metro Boomin. And I don't, there's no disrespect. He's the man. But I bet there's a lot of shit he doesn't know that you and I would know only because we actually love music.
Especially like David Foster's a good example just because if you sit down and like, this is like-
Flex, you about to flex?
I'm about to flex, but it's because it's-
Hold on, let us sit back and we're ready. Go ahead.
Yeah. Put a mat down because I'm about to drop some shit.
Yeah.
Wait, Fabi needs some more DiSordo first.
Yeah. Let me put my pinky out.
No, but he, it's Don Julio 1942. If you want to send us some free shit, please send us some free shit. To like sit down with David Foster at a piano and him play like just his favorite 10 songs he wrote, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You made that and that. And that, and it's like everything from the Bodyguard soundtrack.
Right. To, one of the highest selling soundtracks ever.
He did the Karate Kid song. I am a man who will fight. It's fucking
good. Like, oh, he did? Peter Cetera?
Yeah.
He did?
It's unreal. And to think that somebody would just
has all like, that in their head.
Yeah.
Another person that I've always admired since I was a kid, and his, it's funny, before I tell you who it is, this is what I used to think. What would it be like to be his wife? To just know how his brain works. Mm-hmm. But John Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how the fuck do you write that many iconic staples?
I have a John Williams story.
All right.
So he apparently... Well,
great story.
Yeah, it's not.
By the way, for those that are listening, John Williams is the composer of
The Goat.
Every single iconic
Jurassic
movie
Park,
from back from Star Wars. Indiana Jones to.
It's crazy. Did
he, I think he even did Jaws.
But so I found out apparently he writes most of his scores on the golf course. And he just goes
which
out.
Which golf course?
the Bel Air golf course. Okay, he, but he, no, he, it really is one specific golf course because he goes out, he gets the same caddy, and
he gets in that zone.
He just gets in his zone and he plays 18 holes. And he's like, that's where I come up with like, wow. He's like where he wrote the new Star Wars theme right. song. And mm-hmm. like,
but how does he, when he gets it in his head, how does he transfer?
He just remembers it.
Just remembers?
He gets like the main melody. But the crazy thing that made me think of though is imagine being the caddy that he always uses.
Yeah.
That dude, I hope that dude realizes what he's been around for.
Hope that guy.
Well, is Sean like, humming? Is he humming exactly. the melodies?
Imagine like walking up to the green on the like 16th hole and he hasn't made a sound all day, and then all of a sudden he goes, na 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 na. It happened. And then imagine it doesn't happen during those 18 holes and he gets a different caddy the next time. You're like, right. fuck, I just ruined the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, that's I had that with Teddy Riley, so I became friends with Teddy Riley, the person that made me want to be a producer.
Yeah.
And like, so we're hanging out. He did the same thing that David Foster did with you. He's just sitting there playing. He's doing, doing it with his mouth.
Yeah.
In the vocoder, in the, I got the video right now. I'll show you afterwards.
I think you showed me before.
And like, he's doing that. He's playing like all Bobby Brown's music. Like, don't be like My Prerogative. Yeah. And just right in front of you. It's not like a whole bunch of.
Does anybody want to bring up Rumshaker? Or because that was one too.
But what's crazy is like the whole song is being done live in front of you. So it's not like, oh, let me go program the drums. Let me go. He's doing the whole thing live.
Yeah.
You're like, holy shit. So you could have did it in one take?
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Wild. And he could have.
Yeah. It's not like, let me do the bass.
He might have.
It's not like, here's the bass, here's the lead. Yeah. It's all with his mouth doing that and the play. It's crazy.
It's wild.
It's doing the wah-wah bomb. Like all at one time.
That just makes my brain hurt. Like thinking about doing all that at one time. It's like,
no, but it makes me understand. Cause when I was young, I used to think, why do girls get so crazy over like boy bands and cry?
Right.
Right. And then like, I'll watch somebody so talented like that. And like, I'll blow them. Yeah. You know what
I mean? I feel like kids now, another thing that they're going to miss out on is like, cause you said boy bands.
Yeah.
The whole like TRL thing,
mm-hmm.
Where they would shut down fucking Times Square. Like kids don't, like that's not, that doesn't exist anymore.
That's because every influencer that has a million followers or more thinks that they are a Backstreet Boy band.
Yeah, that's true, man.
They think they're the most important, entitled.
Well, but and like you, if you.
Hey, but by the way, guys, if you guys want a flat stomach, follow me at.
Now, like the reason people used to wait out in the rain and cold and fucking like go crazy for NSYNC or Britney Spears or all of that is because you...
That was limited access.
Yeah, it was the closest you could get to them.
Yeah.
We don't have that. There's no such thing as a rock star anymore.
No, there isn't. But I think, honestly, I don't want to say kids are starting to figure it out, but I think the world, I think in general, you know, a lot of this stuff, the delivery method is easier now. It's faster. It's right there. You know what I mean? It's done. But I think the ones that last still need to make good music. You know, I mean, at least I hope, but I feel like they do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They can have a year of this lunatic kid yelling this and that, blah, blah, blah. He gets a little viral thing going. But it's gone. You know?
But you know, it's funny because what Jordan's saying is dope. Like, what if someone did come out and they just had dope music, but you're like, you never seen them?
Right.
But it's like now we live in a world that the method of delivering music is through social media. So you have to attach yourself to it.
Oh, for sure.
You just have like a cool aesthetic, like create like the Gorillaz or Daft Punk, where it's like, it's still something.
Eventually, they had to show who the Gorillaz were.
They did.
They didn't have to.
But
did they have to?
Maybe not. I mean, Daft Punk didn't have to. But and I think that like that's why I say Marshmello is that now. Like the like he's to me he's like the most current still anonymous person that somehow he's doing what Daft Punk
because it's the allure of
who is he?
Yeah, you're not a regular motherfucker that I can shit on or judge.
Right?
No, you're a thing. You're something.
I was at a party that Daft Punk was at,
and
nobody knew they were. I'm such a huge fan. I know what they look like.
Yeah,
it's not hard to find.
Right,
but most people don't take the time.
Right,
and they were.
I never did.
It was a party. Yeah, exactly. It was a party for them.
Yeah,
and they were there, and nobody had any fucking clue.
Really?
Yeah. No. Like they were enjoying the party.
That's so awesome. Somebody's like, "Hey, I'm."
I walked up to the guy and I was like, "Hey,
hi.
I just want to shake your hand."
Right.
And he like looked around for a second and he like gave me the shh. And shook my hand because they were having so much fun just being like, anonymous.
Right, right, right.
But that's not the same as like the rock star thing.
Because nowadays people, they don't want to be anonymous. They want to be famous.
Oh, for sure.
Man. Yeah.
They wanted their 5 seconds
for the wrong reasons.
The reality show, then they can build their brand, then they can like start
like
building a product.
The people I get starstruck for are the people I admire, not the people that other people know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And I feel like that's not the norm.
Right.
Know? Like people are just like, oh my God, that guy's got that many followers. I got to meet him.
Right. Well, today I was driving down the street and Boy Wonder, who produces all the hits that are on the radio, just won a Grammy. And like I seen him and I pulled up, I was like, Boy Wonder. And he looked like no one cared that he was out in the street. Right. You know, and then I got out and talked to him for a few minutes.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy.
Like, well, that's because we also care about...
Yeah.
I mean, we can't get mad that people don't care as much as we do.
No, and trust me, I want everybody to follow me at Jordan McGraw and buy my music. And I will be doing an internet content thing. Yeah, exactly. You know, like, you've got to play the game.
Punching
but
babies.
But, like, I miss like, Axl Rose. You know what I mean?
Like, when you hear stories and you don't know if it's true.
Like, did they really make somebody run down Sunset naked? And it's like somebody the final thing to sign their record deal. Like,
you know did what somebody really throw a TV out of the third floor hotel room? Yeah. Did Ozzy really bite a bat's head off?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
no, I can find him
telling the story. Yeah, he does. Fucking amazing. Right.
He said he didn't know it was a real bat.
Right.
Yeah, and then he was like, once I did it too, I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to do this all the time.
I believe him that he didn't know. Yeah, for sure. He had no clue, I'm sure. No, what I was going to say was I do miss the... there was something about like not knowing. You know what I'm saying? Like there was the smart kid that knew some stuff. But then like you could sit there with your friends and be like, this and that, talking about this, but you don't know.
Him either.
But now it's like, but now it's like, hold on. In 2 seconds, you know. So I kind of missed like not knowing, like the learning things of it. You know what I'm saying?
I think, like with the like Rainbow Room. Mm-hmm. Like you knew that Guns N' Roses hung out at the Rainbow Room a lot.
Yeah.
You knew that like...
But you knew from people talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you went there, you would go there like hoping. And of course, like... Well, my luck, if I went there at the time, it would be the one night they weren't there.
Right.
You know, but like that was what was cool because it was like the thing that was cool about a rock star to me was that it was that perfect balance of if I ever saw them out at a bar, we would totally kick it.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to see them at that bar. You know what I mean? That was the
now.
Like,
so you just look at the geotag. Oh, that's where they're at. We're on the way.
You know now the artist's like, yo, I'm going to be here. Right. Let's turn up.
Exactly. You know how we do. I'm on the way. You know?
Exactly.
I'm talking to my money phone.
Right.
Yeah. And then you show up and they stay for 5 minutes and they leave and they didn't have
and any they
fun.
Don't. They by the way, also to what you were saying, if you ran into a rock star and knew who they were, 9 times out of 10, they'd be like, oh, hey, what's up, man?
Right. Yeah.
Or they'd fight you, right? But now, like, you can't talk. I'm better than you. You can't talk to me. You can't come in this VIP.
Yeah. Which
you
ain't on my level. It should. Like, that's why. That's why. Like, I don't know. But I think one of that speaks to the idea that like the more famous and successful a person is, the nicer they are.
Yeah.
Because they have nothing to prove.
Yeah. Why? Like.
Yeah. What?
Why would? Yeah. You want to buy me a beer? Yeah. Cool. All right. Let me buy you one.
Totally, man.
It's like,
and see, all these things come down to music, songs, what they mean to you.
Exactly.
And the people behind them that make them.
It's because I bet if you ask the people that are assholes to their fans what the 3 most important songs of their lives are, they would be their own songs. Yep. You ask like the most successful musician in the world.
They're going to take you down that path.
They're going to take you down a story. And it might be one of their songs, but it's not going to be because...
It's their song.
No,
but okay, Simon. Thank you for coming, man. We really appreciate you being here, bro.
Dude, it's an honor to meet you and get familiar.
Clinton Sparks.
It was dope, bro.
He was a one-of-a-kind human being.
Yeah, he's a special guy.
Yeah, he can't sit still. We could have gone. He hung out for like 2 more hours. We just couldn't get him to sit in front of a microphone for 2 more hours.
The guy's got he's got intense energy, man.
Yeah,
intense.
He's an awesome dude. If you ever get the chance to meet him or see him out in public, walk up, strike up a conversation with him because you will leave smiling.
Big time, man. Big time. We got next week, though, bro.
Mike Caron.
Woo.
If you don't know who he is, you're going to learn.
Yeah.
Because this dude, he may have single-handedly changed the music game several times.
Yeah, he changed how people get music delivered to them. I mean, he found some of the biggest artists from Flo Rida to Bruno Mars to T.I. to
everybody.
And the guy's a legend, man. Yeah. He's a legend.
And
great
a good
guy.
Dude, yeah.
Big time, man.
Check it out next week. Mike Caron, Tracks of Life.
Boom.